You're listening to the News Project Podcast for the week of June 22nd, 2020. Brought to you by GNAT TV, this podcast brings you these stories. Updates on town parks and the new rail trail in Manchester, and new rules on the recycling laws are taking effect.
On Wednesday, July 1st, some changes are coming on the recycling scene that Vermonters will want to be aware of. First, food scraps are no longer going to be permitted in the general trash and rubbish that folks hand off to trash haulers. Those will now need to be separated and disposed of by themselves, perhaps in a tote container at your area's transfer station. Secondly, after a long push by advocates, one-use plastic shopping bags will no longer be allowed for distribution to a store's customers. The time to bring your own reusable bag to the grocery store has arrived. These changes have long been in the works, and there are options available, like composting food scraps if you have the space for a composting bin. It's ridiculously easy to do, but we'll explore that in more depth in another program. Right now, to help us understand the food scraps and plastic bag portion, we turn to Michael Batcher, the Solid Waste Program Manager for the Bennington County Regional Commission, to help us understand what will be different come July 1st.
Okay, well, there's two basic changes. One is that food scraps will be banned from being put in the trash. In other words, it'll be banned from landfill, from everyone, okay? And the second one is single-use plastics will no longer be used in stores. Now, there's a bunch of caveats to both of these. So let me go with the food scraps. The food scrap ban, this really goes back to the universal recycling law that was passed in 2012. So this has been going on for a while, and it's been in stages where large generators like hospitals were supposed to divert back in 2015, and then it gradually got smaller and smaller. So it hit restaurants and then schools and then smaller commercial places. And during all this time, the Bennington County Solid Waste Alliance has been offering education and outreach on these to the affected institutions and organizations and businesses. And so is Vermont AANR. So there's been a lot of information out there. Now it's going to hit residents. They will not be able to put their food in the trash. They have to find ways of diverting it, which is somewhat complicated by the fact that during all of this time, the haulers no longer have to provide curbside pickup of organics. So that makes it a little tricky for the average homeowner who's used to putting the stuff at the end of the driveway. They can put it at the end of the driveway, but the hauler doesn't have to pick it up. So we're encouraging people that now, of course, people can talk to their hauler and see if they'll work out an arrangement. It's just, it doesn't mean that they won't offer it, just that they're not required by law. They can compost in the backyard, and we have been selling compost bins. They can bring it to the transfer stations, all the transfer stations in the county except food waste. So you can bring your container and dump it in a tote that's on the transfer station property. Probably a key thing to do is, and the whole point of this is just to waste less. Just be careful what you buy. You know, if you buy 14 peaches and six of them go bad, well, maybe you shouldn't have bought so many. So trying to be careful about what you buy. Donating food to food groups. So if there's something that can be donated, if you have a neighbor who's composting or a farmer who accepts food scraps or a community garden, there are places like that. Now, the plastics ban also goes into effect July 1st. And basically what that means is that stores, supermarkets can't offer plastic bags, for one thing. They can't offer straws for your milkshake or plastic stirrers, and they won't be able to use styrofoam. So no more styrofoam coffee cups. And that's because plastic is just building up in the stream so much, and that stuff, many of those things are very difficult to recycle. Plastic bags, for instance, are very difficult to recycle. They can be, but they're difficult. And so will be bring your own bag time to the supermarket. And instead of getting all those plastic bags that they use now.
One question many might ask is, who's going to know if I place some food scraps in my garbage? Well, the sanitation police won't be poking around inside your trash in all likelihood, but it's now the law, and trash haulers don't have to take it away. You can find more information about all of this at the Regional Commission's website, which can be found at bcrcvt.org. For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. Summer's here, and the time is right for, well, in a typical year, that list might include a trip to your town's local recreational park. With temperatures routinely up in the 80s or higher, a dip in the town pool or swimming area might be part of that, along with other outdoor activities. But as we all know, 2020 isn't your typical year. The COVID-19 emergency has forced many public facilities, like rec parks, to impose restrictions or curtail summer programs that would normally be available. While in Vermont, a measured and gradual reopening of the state continues, even as other parts of the country are seeing a surge in new cases of the coronavirus, state and local officials have been cautious when it comes to what they're comfortable with allowing at town and state parks. Speaking of the state parks, they'll be reopening on Friday, June 26th. Town parks, like those in Manchester and Arlington, have been open more or less right on through the pandemic, but with limitations. And as the summer arrives, those limitations are impacting some of the summer programs in particular that used to be safe places for parents to enroll their children in during their summer holidays. To get a clearer idea of what's going on, we talked with Jacqueline Lewicki and Brian Van Horn at the Manchester Rec Park. The popular swimming pool there has been shut down for the summer, but they're evaluating just about everything else on a week-to-week basis.
As part of the remobilizing of everything, we've also asked that all the park users that will be now trying to get their kids back together also come up with a game plan, if you will. I mean, you're not allowed to play games as of yet, but just to give us an outline of what their practices will look like and what steps and measures that they'll have in place to ensure not only, say, the pre-screening and the health of their participants, but also just a basic outline of how they'll go about trying to follow suit with the limited touching. You know, it's hard, you know, step where they're at. They all have their own helmets, their own bats and everything like that. Obviously, you can't participate with baseball without sharing the baseball, at least. So we've spoken to them about trying to have your children stay in like pods or groups, if you will, where the same kids catch with each other. Say they're in the batting cage, you know, usually you would have the kids pick up all the balls after the coach was done pitching. So we just said, you know, just simple things like that. Just have, you know, the coach walk over and pick up the balls and the less common touch points and, you know, just making sure that everybody who's, you know, being dropped off to participate on that given day is aware of the restrictions that are now in place and is obviously of good health without, you know, any projected symptoms of the, you know, which anything that could be construed as a respiratory situation.
All like outside. Right, yes. Programs. Like it wouldn't be our camp is still very questionable at this moment because of the restraints that we have in the park house and the limit of number that we can have. As for, you know, the baseball, we're just using them as an example because they've actually filled out all of their paperwork. We've sent the paperwork to the ELA and other places.
We can't hire back any of our kids that are our counselors, our lifeguards, and you know, we truly can appreciate and understand the service or the need for the summer camp for the folks who live in the community to have something for their children.
Especially
so I mean we have spent countless hours doing research and trying to find every available means possible to facilitate making that happen. But with the current guidelines that are in place, it's just not possible for us to do the camp at this time.
Sure. We also had the chance to speak with Christine Ferris Hubbard, the education director at Merck Forest. They'll be offering three summer camp programs, limited to six persons each, running during July and August.
So the pandemic is certainly changing things up a little bit. We have made the decision to run our summer camps this year, but we have made them much smaller. So we've reduced the number of campers that we're going to have just to help maintain that social distance and to be able to manage the camps in a safe way, both for the campers and for our staff. We are requiring people to pre-register for all of our workshops, and then closing off registration about 72 hours prior to the event happening so that we can make sure that we're communicating the protocol that we're going to be following during those different programs.
Meanwhile, at the Dorset Quarry, a popular place for many to relax and swim, it's also open. Although social distancing guidelines are in place and visiting group sizes are limited to 25 people or fewer. One final note, the 4th of July fireworks normally held at the Manchester Rec Park have been postponed until later this year. The hope is to be able to have them later on, perhaps in September. Getting outdoors and getting some physical exercise is widely considered to be a good tonic for too much enforced indoor time, so we'll see you at the Rec Park. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. The Manchester Rail Trail is finished, open, and in use. It runs from the Manchester Rec Park through Hunter Park and along the course of an old railroad bed, originally built in the early 1900s to carry marble quarried in Dorset to Manchester for eventual reshipment. The path goes by Hunter Park for about 2 miles to Mount Aeolus Road and ends at North Road. The last section of the trail, which required a few bridges to be built across the streams that cut across the trail, was recently finished. Old Railroad Bed LLC, the legal entity formed to purchase the deteriorated railroad, has fixed up the trail and it is now open from end to end for walking, biking, or jogging, and it's getting used. But the path has been the subject of several legal battles and court cases over the years, as some of the abutting landowners sought to limit or restrict the development of the trail, citing privacy and security concerns. And that discussion isn't over yet. The project has been the subject of much study and analysis, including a group of hearings held last year, which sought to determine the cost and impact of the trail, as well as its recreational benefits. The Old Railroad Bed Group currently owns the trail, but is hoping to eventually turn it over to the town. Robin Verner, a Manchester resident and biking enthusiast, has been one of the principals of the ownership group, and he walked us through what was going on.
They tend to call it Sherpak. It's an aggregate. Has a high content of marble, incidentally, making it look kind of white. It is now Sherpak from end to end, right here from North Road all the way to the rec area. There were two stream crossings that were challenging, and now there are bridges. Bridges have been put in for crossing. And so it's in really good shape. We've got some historical signs. We've got warnings where they're needed. We got stop signs. We've got no trespassing signs where they're needed, and that sort of thing. So it's really in really good shape, and it's getting a lot of use. We basically built it for ourselves, but there are lots of people that are using it, just finding it and enjoying it. It's offering a nice alternative to the Equinox Preservation Trust, which is nice as well, but has gotten a lot of use. So it's good. It's lovely. It's scenic. That's what's really nice about it. My wife and I have been on a few trails recently in other places, and some of them you don't get to see much. Here you do. There's some nice views down at the big opening at the cornfield. There are beautiful views of Mount Aeolus and Mount Equinox, and it's really quite lovely.
Whether it eventually gets a town permit is another question, one the Manchester Development Review Board has opted to review again sometime in August, after a discussion during their meeting on June 10th didn't yield a decision on that. Robin Verner explained why the Old Railroad Bed Group was seeking a town permit.
tricky question. We've been asked to get a permit. If you build a trail on your own property in Vermont, you don't need a permit. But this trail has become more popular. More people have been walking it. And so the zoning administrator has asked us to get a permit, to apply for a permit. The other issue is that we're hoping at some point, possibly next spring, that the town will acquire the trail. I mean, we didn't buy a rail trail because we wanted to own a rail trail. We bought the property and made it into a rail trail because if we didn't, nobody else would have. So we kind of, I guess, took the bull by the horns and created this thing, but now we're expecting that the town will purchase it from us. So if the zoning permit doesn't get passed until the town takes it over, that would be fine too.
Meanwhile, the trail is open during daylight hours with some interesting historical signage and also encouragement to keep your voices muted and to be mindful that the trail does traverse and border private properties and homes situated nearby. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.